But tonight, to get to the Word, I want to minister on Genesis. And seeing how this is the Genesis of Genesis, I felt that it was an appropriate title. And the word Genesis means origin or in the beginning. And so it's a new beginning. It's a fresh start. And I know there have definitely been times in my life where I really needed a new beginning or I needed a fresh start. And maybe you're in the same boat. Maybe 2011 has been a difficult year for you. Maybe you've had to deal with some issues at home, or maybe you've had to deal with the heartache of maybe a breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend, or maybe you just made some decisions this year and some choices that you really regret and that you wish that you could have just redo, or you could start over, or you could get another chance. Well, I've got good news for you. You do. You do get another chance. 2012 does not have to look like 2011. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." His mercies are new every single morning. I don't care what you did last month. I don't care what you did last week. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did an hour before you came here tonight. His mercies are new every single day. That means that daily you get an opportunity to start over. Every single day you get a chance to start afresh and to start anew. And y'all seem really, really quiet tonight, so I just want you to turn and slap your neighbor. Wake up. Somebody say something. Yeah, yeah, y'all don't have to be like so rigid and quiet. It's cool. I mean, don't be having conversations while I'm trying to preach, but you can feel free to talk back to me or say something to me. It's a conversation, all right? So if we've been given this new beginning and this fresh start, then we have to ask ourselves, how can we best make the most of this? How can we make the most of this opportunity? How can we best use this chance at a fresh start? Well, I believe that if we want to best use this chance at a fresh start, then we have to know where we're going. If you don't know where you're going, then you'll never know if you get there. If we don't start with the end in mind, then we won't know where we are going. Let's start with the end in mind and work backwards. So that's what I want us to do. I want us to start with the end in mind and work backwards. This is what I'm going to ask you all to do. Everyone in here, close your eyes. Now with your eyes closed, I want you to imagine that you're at the end of your life and you're looking back over your life. And I want you to imagine that the best possible outcome has happened. Everything you wanted to accomplish, you accomplished. All your dreams came true. Every goal you had was met. So imagine it's the best possible outcome. Now I want you to think, what were those dreams that came true? What were the things you achieved? What goals did you meet? Okay, everybody look up at me. Do you have a dream? Do you know? What do you see? When you envision the end of your life and you envision these dreams you've accomplished, what do you envision? What do you see anything? It's very important that you have a goal. How many of you in here have a really, really, really big dream? Raise your hand. Let me see. What's your dream?
My dream is to be the President of the United States and help the people of Christ.
That is what I'm talking about. You want to be the President of the United States. That is exactly what I'm talking about. That man has got it. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else in here? What's your dream? That is awesome. Very awesome dream. Anybody else? You?
I'm going to go to cooking school and own my own restaurant.
Awesome, you will.
I want to be a clothes designer.
Awesome. I like your style, by the way. You're rocking it.
I want to be a blacksmith and make things that like have scriptures in it.
I like that. It's creative and very cool. That's awesome, Chloe. Who else? Anybody else got a dream you want to? What do you want? What's your? Awesome. You're in the right place. Anybody else? See, my goal is when I ask who in here has a really, really big dream, my goal is that every single person would raise their hand and say, me, I've got a really, really big dream. And why do I want that? Because God never underestimates the profound capacity in young people for greatness. And this is a room full of young people. A lot of people may have told you that this is your time to goof off. This is your time that, you know, just be a kid. You don't have to do anything great. But I want you to know that Jesus has never, and God has never underestimated the profound capacity for greatness in young people. Many of the Bible heroes that we read about, many of the characters that we study week in and week out, were your age, were teenagers, were kids, some of them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she had Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, most scholars believe she was 14 years old. How many of you in here are 14 or older? 14 or older, raise your hand. That means, raise your hand again, let me see. 14 or older. Can you imagine having a baby right now? No? I can't imagine. I'm 25 years old, and I can't imagine having a baby, much less having the Savior of the universe as my baby. But who did God pick? Who did God pick to be the mother of the Savior of the world? A 14-year-old girl. Because he saw greatness in Mary. He saw greatness in her. Another one, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, when God came and called him and told him he wanted to be a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah told him, said, no, God, you can't use me. I'm too young. And God told him, Jeremiah, do not say you are too young. And he made him a voice to the entire nation of Israel. God said, I've appointed you over nations to tear down and to destroy and to build and to edify. God put him in charge of nations. And he was a young man, a teenager, when that happened. One of my favorite Bible characters, one of my favorite heroes in the Bible, King David. Yeah. King David was 17 years old when he slew Goliath. Do we have any 17-year-olds in here? Awesome, I see a few. Okay. When he was your age, he became a national hero overnight and freed Israel from the oppression of Goliath and the Philistine army. 17 years old, and women were running out in the streets saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David is tens of thousands. A national hero at 17 years old. The disciples, did you know that 11 of the 12 disciples, when Jesus called them to follow him, were teenagers? 11 of 12 of them were teenagers. That means when Jesus ascended into heaven, he left the entire future leadership of the church in the hands of college-age leadership when he ascended into heaven. And why did he do that? Because God never underestimates the profound capacity for greatness in young people. So I want us to, again, with that in mind, I want you to dream big. I want us to, again, imagine. So everybody, again, close your eyes. And this time, instead of imagining that you're at the end of your life, I want you to imagine that we're at the end of this year, December 31st, 2012. Exactly 1 year, I guess, at the end of next year. December 31st, 2012. Exactly 1 year from tonight. Imagine that you're looking back over 2012, and again, imagine the best possible outcome. Everything you've wanted to achieve happened. All the goals that you wanted to meet, you did. All your dreams came true in 2012. The best possible outcome. And again, I want you to think about, what are those goals that met? Dream big, guys. Dream big. What goals did you meet? What dreams came true? What did you achieve? I want you to think about what those are. What are the things you want to accomplish in 2012? And now, with that in mind, I want you to ask yourself, what decisions and choices will I have to make in order to see those dreams become a reality? Think about that. What decisions are you going to have to make? What things are you going to have to turn away from? What things are you going to have to give up in order to see those dreams become a reality? Okay, you can all look up at me again. The vision you have right now for 2012, the vision you have for your life, will guide every single decision and choice you make. That's why it's so important for you to have a vision. That's why it's so important for you to have a goal. Because when you have something that you're shooting for, something that you're reaching for, then that will guide every decision you make. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I used to wonder what that meant. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Why would people perish? Because there is no vision. Well, I feel like the answer was found in another translation. Another translation says, where there is no vision, the people cast off all restraint. And what that means is, when people don't have anything that they're shooting for, they don't have a goal, they don't have a dream, they don't believe that they can be great, they don't believe that they can accomplish great things, what do? They give into hedonism. They give into living just for the moment, for the here and now. Whatever feels good, do it, because I don't have anything I'm shooting for anyways, so I might as well just enjoy this moment and have instant gratification right now, because I don't have anything I'm dreaming for. So That's why I want every single one of you to know exactly where it is you're going in 2012. For you, those of you that are maybe youth leaders, or maybe even you that have friends that have maybe been taking a wrong path, or have been backsliding, or not really living life the way that they should, I want to give you a clue or a hint of what you can do to help them. The best thing you can do to help them is not to judge them and bash them and condemn them and make them feel guilty for what they're doing. The best thing you can do for them is give them a dream. Help them dream again. Help them get a vision on the inside of them. Because when they get that vision, they'll begin to see that vision becoming a reality in their life. And as they begin to think about that and imagine that becoming a reality in their life, that will produce a passion on the inside of them to see it come to pass. And that passion will lead to them living a disciplined life and doing making the right decisions and the choices they have to make in order to see that dream become a reality. So if you know someone, or if you are someone that you know you've been making some wrong decisions and some bad choices, then I want to encourage you tonight to find out what God wants you to accomplish for your life, because when you figure that out, when you get that dream, it's going to completely change the entire way you live your life. So vision leads to passion. Passion leads to discipline. And discipline leads to fulfilled destinies. I want you to remember that. Especially us as youth leaders, it's very important to remember that. And maybe you're one of the people that when I ask you to imagine and dream see yourself at the end of your life and to see the dreams that came true, and you're like, I don't see anything. I don't know what happened. I don't know what came to pass because I don't have a dream yet. And that's okay. I don't want you to feel guilty about that or feel bad about that. I'm about to give you five areas that you can focus on that will help reveal and help you discover your destiny and God's purpose for your life. So this is going to be five areas to focus on to be sure you get where you want to go in 2012. I don't know if any of you are taking notes or not, but if you are, you can write that down. Five areas to focus on to be sure you get where you want to go in 2012. Some of these are going to be really simple, and you're like, duh. But if you'll actually apply them and do them, I promise they'll make a difference in your life. Number one, pray. I told you it was really simple. Now, that's something that we all know to do. We all know we should do. But I want an honest show of hands. Don't lie to me in here, all right? I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer honestly. How many of you take time, you might miss a day every once in a while, but you have a habit and you make it a priority to spend some time talking with God every single day? Raise your hands if you do that. Okay, we've got some of you in here. Some of you are being honest, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, that's something that we all know we should do, yet it's something that can be rather difficult to make happen sometimes. We get so busy in life. We got so many things going on. It's easy to let that slide. And I'm not talking about, I don't want to try and put some kind of religious duty or obligation on you. I'm not saying that you have to spend a certain amount of time a day or that you have to, do it at a certain time of day. Some people, you have to pray in the morning. You have to do it in the morning. As long as you're communicating with God and you're talking to him like he's your best friend, then that's what he wants. He doesn't want you fulfilling some sort of duty or obligation. If your friend called you on the phone at 8 o'clock every morning, it's like, hey, I had to talk to you for the first 5 minutes of my day. Make it quick, though, because I've really got a lot of stuff I need to get done. Is that really going to mean anything to you? Do you think it means anything to God when you have that attitude? Wake up in the morning, all right, I got to get this over with. Gosh, I'm trying to be a Christian. Got to be a good Christian. Let's get this over with. No, he doesn't want that. He wants you to be his best friend. He wants to be your best friend. And you do that by enjoying spending time with him, by wanting it. And the way you do that is you don't have to force it. You don't have to focus on a certain amount of time. It's just take some time to talk to him about the things that matter most to you. Because I promise you, the things that matter most to you matter most to him. Because he loves you and he cares about you. So the things that are important to you are important to him. Maybe you should talk to him about the guy or girl you've got a crush on. I'm sure you'd like to talk about that. I've talked to him about that many times myself. I do it quite frequently, actually. But or maybe it's something you're going through at home, or something you're dealing with, or something you're struggling with, or maybe it's the sports game. You're excited about that, and you want to talk to him about it. It doesn't matter what it is. There's nothing unimportant to God if it's important to you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to be your best friend, just like you would call up, like I would call up David. And I talk to David just about anything that was on my mind. It doesn't have to be important. We've talked about absolutely, completely pointless, ridiculous stuff that had nothing to do with anything and had a blessing. We've talked about flatulence before and had a wonderful time doing it. I think we had some demonstrations as well. But probably shouldn't have said that. But So number one, I want you to spend time with God. I want you to talk to Him. Number two, read your Bible. Again, I'm telling you, these are simple, but if you'll put them into practice, they'll change your life. So number two, read your Bible. And again, it's one of those things where we all know we should do, but at the same time, it's easy to let that slide. And this number two will lead into number three. So number one is pray. Number two is read your Bible. Number three is meditate on what you read. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." It's not good enough just to pick up your Bible and read it for 5 minutes and then set it to the side and completely forget and neglect everything you just read. You just wasted 5 minutes if that's what you do. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 23 through 25, this is a little bit lengthy, but hang with me, it says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." So I used to wonder, what the Bible, how is the Bible like a mirror? Because it talks about someone who reads the word but then doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks in the mirror but then looks away from the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, when you go to the mirror and you look in the mirror, what do? You look to see, make sure you don't have any boogers hanging out your nose. Make sure all your hair's in the right place. Make sure you don't have like any chocolate on your face or any lunch in your teeth. You look to see for what's wrong so you can correct it. The Bible helps you see what's wrong so that you can fix it. Well, when you look into the Bible, it's the same thing. You look into the Bible and it shows you the areas in your life that could be better, areas of in your life that could be more fulfilling, that could be more bring more satisfaction into your life, things that could make you enjoy life more. But if you read this Bible and say, oh yeah, that would make a big difference in my life, and then you set it down and immediately forget what you just read and don't practice it, then you're just like that man who looks in the mirror and looks away and doesn't apply it. So be sure that you're reading your word and that you're meditating on it, that you're not just setting it to the side and forgetting, that you're keeping that mirror continually in front of your face, watching for things that you need to fix and things that could make your life better. And one good way to do that is to blog about it, to tweet about it, to post on Facebook about it. And goodness knows we need some decent Facebook posts, right? I was on Facebook the other night, and I saw a guy had written, "My tongue itches." I'm thinking, okay, why did you feel that we all needed to know that? I'm not hating on the guy. If he wants to write "his tongue itches," more power to him. It's his Facebook page. But I'm just saying, which I really don't have room to talk because I write a lot of really ridiculous stuff online too. But I also write a lot of spiritual things on there and things I'm meditating on and things I'm thinking about. And if you'll do that and you'll take time to kind of organize your thoughts and assemble your thoughts together to share with others, not only will you be helping yourself by meditating and thinking about it, but you'll be helping everyone else as well that you have influence over. So you should do that. So number one, pray. Number two, read your Bible. Number three, meditate. And number four, fast. Now, a lot of us, when we think of fast, we automatically think of food. But it doesn't necessarily just apply to food. It can be Facebook. It can be a TV. It can be anything that is in your life that you may, not something you have to give up permanently, but something that you could take a few days to, instead of focusing on that thing, to focus on God and to focus on His plan for you and to focus on His plan for you in 2012. It's just simply saying, God, I want to take some extra time on top of what I already give you on a daily basis to really focus and to really get in your presence and to really spend time with you so that I can really hear from you. So I would encourage you, whether that's cell phone or Facebook, food, TV, whatever it is, to take some time. Maybe it's one day a week. Maybe Fridays, on Fridays. So on Fridays, I'm going to take the time I'd usually spend on Facebook. I'm going to spend it talking and hanging out with God instead. And just use that time to spend time and get to know Him better. So one, pray. Two, three, four. Very good. Now, number five is expect God to speak to you and to use you. Now, I promise you, if you're doing these other things I've told you, if you're praying, if you're reading your Bible, if you're fasting, if you're meditating on the Word, then God is going to speak to you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to let you know what's up. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it is not our right to decide what we do with our lives, but it is our responsibility to discover what God wants us to do with our lives. I want to say that again. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it is not our right to decide what we do with our lives. It is our responsibility to discover what God wants us to do with our lives. That's something that my dad taught me. And some of us, I know some of us are scared to do that because we're scared if we submit to God and we start doing what He wants us to do with our lives, we're scared that He might make us do something we really, really don't want to do, like marry an ugly girl. And that is something that my dad said he dealt with when he was first getting saved. As you can see, he didn't end up with an ugly girl. He ended up with my mom, which is beautiful. And I know for me that there have been times when I was like, all right, I see this girl over here, God. I know she's awesome. She's respectable. I have respect for her. She's been talking to me a lot more, but no. I want you to have your will, but no. And it's like you're scared because you start feeling, God, are you trying to work her into my life? No. But I want you to know God won't make you marry an ugly girl, someone you're not attracted to. He won't make you move to Africa if moving to Africa would make the rest of your life miserable. Now, sometimes He may make you do something that you think will make your life miserable because He has a higher perspective than you, and He knows that what He's telling you to do, although it may look like a terrible thing to you at the time, He knows that in the long run, it's going to satisfy you and please you and fulfill you far more than anything else you could come up on your own. That may happen, but God will never make you do anything that will truly make your life miserable, all right? So you don't have to be scared. That's where trust comes into play, trusting your best friend and trusting God as your best friend to lead you and guide you. Psalms 37, chapter 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" Can I go ahead and get the band to come back up here? We're going to wrap up here in just a second, but I want to tell you a story first. Yeah, band. So, when I was a teenager, when I was y'all's age, I used to have a dream that I wanted to grow up and be a professional musician. Starting from when I was 12 years old, my dad started me out on the drums when I was 12 years old. And since that point, I fell in love with music. I fell in love with it. I wanted to do it. And I decided I wanted to be a studio musician when I grew up. I wanted to be a full-time musician. So when people would ask me, what do you want to do when you grow up? I was like, I want to be a full-time musician. I want to play music for a living. And most people are like, oh, yeah, sure. You know what I'm talking about. You've faced that before to where you've told somebody about something you wanted to do and they laughed in your face and said, it can't happen, it's impossible. Well, that was the case with me. I'd shared my story. I told people what I wanted to do, but people didn't believe that it could happen for me. They didn't believe that would come true for me. But when I was 21 or 22 years old, I got the opportunity to join a band that had 7 number one radio singles, 15 top 10. I was getting paid to fly on airplanes and ride on tour buses and play in front of audiences of thousands. I'm not saying this to like brag on myself, say, look how awesome I am. But I'm wanting to give you an example of somebody that believed that God gave them a dream and they chose to believe. I chose to believe that God would make it happen for me, that He could do it, and He did. I got to do what I wanted to do. I got to record in the studio. I got to play on TV, on radio. I got to travel all across the nation doing what I love. And maybe you're one of the ones out here that maybe you've even been scared to tell somebody what your dream or what your goal or what you want to accomplish with your life is, because you're scared if you tell them that they're going to laugh in your face, that they're going to tell you, you could never do that, that can't happen for you, it's impossible. Well, I want you to know that is a lie. You can do whatever you want to do, whatever the dreams that God has birthed and placed in your heart, it will come to pass if you trust Him and you follow Him. But some of you may be at a crossroads tonight where you have huge dreams. You want to be the president of the United States. Maybe you want to be the next Tim Tebow, the next Christian rock star. Maybe you want to be the person that discovers the cure for AIDS and saves thousands of lives. Maybe you want to create an amazing invention that changes the world like the iPhone did, or Whatever your dream is, God believes in you. And if you'll take this time to do the steps that I just gave to you, God will begin to speak to you, and He'll begin to download this vision, and He'll begin to download the dream that He has for your life. And I promise you, it will be more fulfilling and more satisfying than anything else you've ever experienced. If all of you would bow your head and close your eyes with me for a minute. If you're out there and you're saying, there is a longing in me for greatness. I want to go beyond the norm. I want to become extraordinary. The status quo does not satisfy me. I want something greater than what I've currently had. But you know that in order to do that, you're going to have to make some choices. You're going to have to make some choices in 2012. You might have to walk away from some things. You might have to say no to some things. You might be at a crossroads because there are voices that have been calling to you. Voices that have been telling you to cut yourself. Voices that have been telling you to starve yourself. Voices that have been telling you to look at images on the computer screen that you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe there are voices telling you to lie, to cheat, or to steal, or to drink, or to do drugs, or whatever it is. Maybe there have been voices from the world calling you to parties and to do things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And you know that if you're going to choose the greatness that is crying out inside of you, the longing in your heart to perform great and miraculous exploits for the fame of God and for His kingdom, then you're going to have to say no to some things. And you're going to have to choose God's way. If that's you tonight and you're saying, and guys, I don't want to create the impression here that I'm perfect or that I have it all together, because I don't. There are voices that cry out to me every single day that I have to choose to say no to. But I tell you, I've made up my mind. There's only one choice for me, and that is Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do it or die trying. There is no other option for me. My only option is Jesus Christ. And if you're out there and that's you, and you say, there are some crazy big things in my life that I'm facing, but I'm deciding that I'm going to do it or die trying, whatever the cost, no matter the cost, I'm giving my all for Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to stop me. In 2012, I'm giving up everything I have to get. No matter the cost, I'm going to follow Jesus in 2012. If that's you, I want you to get your hand up right now. Let me see it. Thank you. I see the hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Your hands going up all over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? That was a bold step you just took. I'm going to ask you all to do one more thing. If everybody in the room could stand up. If I get everybody to stand up. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. If you're one of those people that raise your hands and you said that you're willing to do it no matter the cost, no matter what it takes, I'm following Jesus. That I want you to do no matter what it takes right now, I want you to come to the front. Be that bold, courageous one that will take the first step. People are waiting for someone to follow. They're waiting for a leader to lead them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Keep coming. Keep coming. Thank you. If you rose your hand, I want you up to the front right now. Thank you. They're still coming. All right, most of the room is coming. See, this is your Genesis. That's why we have named this Genesis. This is your Genesis, a brand new beginning, a fresh start. His mercies are new every morning. No matter what you faced, no matter what you've dealt with, you get a brand new beginning and a fresh start right here, right now. And the greatness that is inside of you, I give you permission right now to pursue that and to see it come to pass and be a reality in your life. So if everyone would you bow your head and close your eyes, I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I give my all to you tonight. No matter the cost, I'm following you. Give me the strength to say no to the things I need to say no to. Give me the strength to walk away from the things I need to walk away from. And Heavenly Father, I ask you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I will follow you all the days of my life. I ask you to use me for your glory, for your fame. I ask you to birth in me a vision and a dream that will blow my mind. Thank you for using me. And thank you for loving me. I love you. In Jesus' name.